present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us from Salford, the city known throughout the world as 200 miles northwest of London. Salford is located on the river which derives its name from the vibrant and optimistic attitude of its people. Oh well. We're coming to you from Salford's Lowry Centre, named after the painter L.S. Lowry. Lowry was, of course, best known for those industrial landscapes populated by his iconic matchstick men, women and children, providing social historians with a valuable record of what life was like in Salford before Greggs. On nearby Trafford Wharf sits the modernist Northern Imperial War Museum, whose architect's stated intention was to create a space as unsettling as war itself, with no natural light, wild fluctuations of temperature, and a pathway through the building that's deliberately disorienting. If it's closed, interested visitors are recommended to try the IKEA in Ashton-under-Lyne. In 1904, Charles Rolls famously met Henry Royce at Manchester's Midlands Hotel and decided to found their company, Rolls-Royce. Coincidentally, at the table next to the future motorcar tycoons, biscuit history was being made when Norman Hobb met Robert Knobb. Opened in 1830, the Liverpool and Manchester Railway was the busiest railway in Victorian England. Manchester's busiest train service today is the 6:05 p.m, which runs every other Saturday. It's the one Manchester United fans use to get back to their homes in London. The Manchester Bed Company, based in nearby Oppenshaw, features beds designed by local celebrities. The latest addition to the range is the Roy Keane bed, which comes complete with two wrong sides to get out of. The world's first steam-powered submarine was invented in Manchester by the Reverend George Garrett in 1878. Called Resurgam, its maiden voyage ended in disaster when the sub was overwhelmed and sank in an inland waterway in central Manchester. Luckily, no one was hurt, and the Reverend Garrett entered the history books as the first vicar to go down on Canal Street. Let's meet the teams. On my right, please welcome John Calshaw and Milton Jones. And on my left, John Finnemore and Vicky Pepperdine. And taking his place on the scoring desk next to me, please welcome our resident tree trunk in trunks, the immaculate Sven. Well, we start this week with a round that's all about books. Choosing a sufficiently interesting title for your novel is regarded as crucial in the publishing world. Witness the early rejection of Evelyn Waugh's Birkenhead Revisited. Likewise, the choice of an opening line is considered crucial for engaging the reader. So, in this round, teams, I'd like you to provide examples of first lines to well-known books likely to have been rejected by their publishers. John Culshaw, you can start.
Airport by Arthur Haley. As the 747 left Heathrow far behind, a voice beamed over the tannoy.
Hello, this is your pilot, Ozzy Osbourne. First for me, to be honest. I could do with Geezer Butler as the co-pilot. Rock and roll. Yeah.
Milton.
Peter Pan by J.M. Barrie. Peter said, it's nice we can all be in the pub garden. Tinkerbell, mind the patio heater.
Bzzzt. Vicky.
Lady Chatterley's Lover by D.H. Lawrence. Oh, swipe right, exclaimed Lady Chatterley. I'm not shagging a gardener.
John Finnemore.
Harry Potter and the thingamy of what's it. So, if I've got this right, Mr. Dumbledore, said the Ofsted inspector, your pupils are routinely killed in magical accidents, and you don't teach maths.
Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected. Once upon a...
The Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck. It was a big day. Tim Roth had finally decided to open a vineyard.
The Time Machine by H.G. Wells. The inventor stepped aside to reveal his creation. I call it a clock, he explained.
Mary Poppins by P.L. Travers. This story will end in another giant wheel down by the Thames, dedicated to Mary Poppins, called the London Umdiddly Little Umdiddly.
Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Disappointingly, there were a few boos as the parade marched through Brighton.
Dr. No by Ian Fleming. I'm afraid you're just not cut out for the Secret Service, growled M, because you keep telling everyone you meet your name. Twice.
Charles Dickens, Great Expectations. Pip eagerly awaited the delivery of the new fireplace.
The Forbidden Planet by W.J. Stewart. Can I have a planet, please? No.
The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Indeed, this is by no means my first colonoscopy.
Said Professor Gollum.
A Christmas Carol. Marley was feeling much better.
David Attenborough, My Life on Air, Memoirs of a Broadcaster.
There were no vacancies at the BBC, but then I noticed that one of the older reporters had become separated from the pack.
Well, OK, it's now the time when I ask our teams to play the round called One Song to the Tune of Another. A song is very similar to an old-fashioned film camera. The camera represents the tune, while the roll of film inside the camera represents the lyrics. After you've spent the day taking photographs, you can open the camera or song and remove the used film or lyrics and replace it with a new one. Of course, sometimes what you thought were a great set of photos come back all grainy and a whole day's work ends up being ruined by something annoying in the background. At the piano, Colin Searle. Incidentally, Colin tells us he's recently been appearing on stage with Nine Inch Nails. Time to use that pedicure voucher, Colin. Vicky Pepperdine, I'd like you to sing the words of God Save the Queen by the Sex Pistols to the tune of Send In the Clowns.
God save the Queen, the fascist regime. They made you a moron, a potential H-bomb. God save the Queen. She's not a human being. And there's no future. And England's dreaming, don't be told what you want. Don't be told what you need. There is no future.
Thank you, Vicky. That's rather nice that the audience here in Salford stood up for that. Well done.
Very much appreciated, thank you.
You now, Milton Jones, I'd like you to sing the words of My Old Man's a Dustman to the tune of Lou Reed's Perfect Day.
Now here's a little story to tell it is a must, about an unsung hero that moves away your dust. Some people make a fortune and others make a mint. My old man don't earn much, in fact he's flipping skint. Oh, my old man's a dustman, he wears a dustman's hat. He wears gobliny trousers, and he lives in a council flat, and he lives in a council flat.
Your turn now, John Finnemore. I'd like you to sing the words of I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It to the tune of the Monty Python theme, otherwise known as the Liberty Bell March.
This was never the way I planned, not my intention. I got so brave drinking and I lost my discretion. It's not what I am used to, just wanna try you on. I'm curious for you got my attention. I kissed a girl and I liked it, the taste of a cherry chapstick. I kissed a girl just to try it, to hurt her boyfriend and mine. It felt so wrong, it felt so right, don't mean I'm in love tonight. I kissed a girl and I liked it, I liked it.
Thank you, John. Yes. Not helped with the sound of the Manchester audience there. Grinding up their meth crack in time. You now, please. John Culshaw, I'd like you to sing the words of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to the tune of One Day Like This by local boy Guy Garvey and Elbow.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him so, they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Don't worry about that, John. We can edit things out. OK, well, this next round is a game about games. In World War II, the Allies famously smuggled the means of escape to British prisoners of war by concealing them in Monopoly sets. It's incredible to think how so many of our brave boys managed to escape the clutches of their Nazi guards by wearing tiny top hats and brandishing a get-out-of-jail-free card. Well, in this round called What's Your Game, one team will play a favourite game of theirs while the opposing team should attempt to guess the name of the game. Okay, so John Finnemore and Vicky Pepperdine, you can start. The title of your game will now be advertised to the audience via the laser display board. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Hippie families. Hippie families.
Off you go, please, John and Vicky.
All right, I'll start. Vicky, do you have Mrs. Bunch, the florist's wife?
No, John, no one has Mrs. Bunch. Mrs. Bunch is her own beautiful, unique spirit, existing in harmony with Gaia, but owned by no one.
Yes, of course, I'm so sorry.
Also, she's not the florist's wife, John. I mean, I believe she's currently in a throuple, actually, with, I think it's Master Sandal, the shoemaker's son, and, yeah, Mr. Bong, the brewer. Okay, so now then, do you have... Oh, sorry. Are you in harmony mm-hmm. with, like, Mr. Green, the exotic herbalist?
Well, not personally, Vicky, but I can hook you up.
Groovy. Ooh.
John Culshaw, Milton Jones, any idea? What's...
Hippie scotch.
Quite close.
I've got absolutely no idea. It was just very beautiful. The theatre of the mind was gorgeous.
Hippie's the key word there.
I'm not telling you. No.
Well, what games of hippie in them?
Hungry, hungry hippies.
Artificial hippie.
Okay, this is a radio show.
The florist's wife, the miller's son, they're all part of one big hippie
family.
Yes.
Hippie family. Yes, yes. Well done. I don't think you'd have got there without John Culshaw helping, though.
I was just enjoying that.
It's your turn to play this, John Culshaw and Milton Jones.
Right.
And the title of your game is now being exhibited on the laser display board, while here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Hot cross bungee jumping. Hot cross bungee jumping.
Off you go, please, John and Milton.
OK, now just put this in your mouth.
OK.
So, you are attached to this huge piece of elastic. Okay. So, you ready? Happy Easter! Go!
I've written down a couple of words, Jack.
Mm.
The first one's egg. Second one's bungee. Okay, so bungee.
Why egg?
Because he said something about Easter.
Ah.
Mm. Hot cross bungee?
Yes, you got it. You got it. Yeah, you actually got
bungee.
It. You actually said it. You actually said it.
Yeah.
I know. The next round is all about television. In this game called Trail of the Lonesome Pun, I'll ask our teams to become continuity announcers, introducing programmes that have been commissioned solely on the basis that their titles have managed to incorporate an eye-catching pun. John Finnemore, can you start?
And now on BBC Two, a heartwarming documentary in which every single worker at the old Clark's factory is reunited and taken on a special coach trip to revisit it. That's a complete load of old cobblers on BBC Two.
Vicky Pepperdine.
Now on Living TV, Tess Daly and Claudia Winkleman host an all-new dominatrix dance show, Come Strictly.
John Culshaw.
Well, next on BBC One, and you can't touch this, is off to the property auction in a 90s pop styly with Holmes under the MC Hammer.
Milton.
And now on CBBC, playing with scissors gets completely out of control with Autopsy and Tim.
New to Netflix, a gripping drama about Elizabeth II making her way in the male-dominated sport of welly throwing. That's The Queen's Gumboot on Netflix.
And a special now on BBC One, Jay Blades and the team have a challenge on their hands when Kim Kardashian brings in a much-loved but now almost unrecognisable bottom. That's the Celebrity Repair Shop.
And now on BBC One, more tales from those gangs in Birmingham that contain A4 bits of paper with the peaky ring binders.
Now in the season finale, let's join Matthew Corbett, Sue and Sweep as their yellow bear friend with black ears tackles police corruption. It's Line of Sooty.
And now on BBC One, it's time for soccer from the Chelsea Flower Show in Football Crocus.
Strong language from the outset as Freudian psychologists discuss the role of the Oedipus complex in the psychosexual development of the adolescent male. That's You Ain't Half Hot, Mum, coming up.
And now on Channel 4, we're going over to see how they're getting on with the repairs to Big Ben in Knackered Attraction.
On BBC Three now, it's the reality series featuring young people looking to form romantic and legally binding relationships with areas of completely empty space. That's Snog, Marry a Void.
And now a choice of viewing on BBC One. Hugh Fearnley-Whittingstall presents a comprehensive guide to offal and how to cook it, while on BBC Two, Michael Portillo's trip on the Grand Union Canal is interrupted when he once again has to pump out the hull of his canal boat. So that's complete tripe on BBC One and the usual bilge on BBC Two.
Well, this next game is our radio version of the popular erstwhile talent show Stars in Their Eyes. It's called Stars in Their Ears. On the subject of ears, I'm sorry to report that over a month ago, I contacted my local GP for an appointment to get my earwax removed. I still haven't heard a thing. OK, John Culshaw, can you tell us, please, who you're going to be tonight?
Jack, I would like to be Professor Brian Cox and Sir Patrick Moore.
Indeed. Well, John, I'd like you to give us a rendition of Wandering Star in the style of Sir Patrick Moore and Professor Brian Cox.
I was born under a wandering star. I was born under a wandering star.
Well, wheels are made for rolling. Mules are meant to pack. Telescopes were meant for observing the moon, and I've never seen a sight that didn't look better looking back, apart perhaps from Saturn.
I was born under a wandering star.
Of course, the wandering star is unlikely to be Betelgeuse, as that's a red giant 600 light years away, part of Orion, and not a main sequence rogue star, as by the one described by Lee Marvin. Although that star would not actually be wandering, that's simply a visual effect of the movement of the Earth, which has very many parallax implications, which are very fascinating.
I was born under a wandering star. A wandering, wandering star.
Honestly, John, it's your first time on the show. Don't worry about it. Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time. Oh. There's just time to fit in a quick round of Underwear Songbook. Incidentally, Fight Fan Sven was telling us how, after an invitation by his local boxing club to take part in an amateur bout, he made sure to take the appropriate underwear. He said in no time at all he'd slipped into a pair of boxers and, by all accounts, made a spectacular entrance in the ring. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to suggest songs likely to prove popular with underwear enthusiasts. You can start this one, Vicky.
Tell me why I don't like undies.
Milton.
Bra, bra, Rasputin.
John Finnemore.
Socks on fire.
John Carlshaw.
Coldplay, and it was all yellow.
Walking in a winter wonder bra.
Simply the vest.
If I had to do the same again, I would, my friend. Commando.
Why? Front's Delilah.
It's a jock strap and you've been caught.
Spanx for the memories.
Anything by the Skids.
Madonna, Into the Groove.
Do they know it's crisp packet time? Has no one used a crisp packet with two holes as a pair of pants?
Well, like a regular little Walker's packet of crisps.
Yeah, don't leave the salt in, mate.
I like driving in my bra. Sorry, what was the game?
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the untreated turd of time slips into the coastal waters of clarity and the wild swimmer of serenity contracts the listeria of longevity, I notice it's the end of the show, so from the teams, Sven, myself, and our audience here in Salford, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
John Finnemore, Vicky Pepperdine, Milton Jones, and John Coleshaw were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Fraser Steele and Stephen Dick, and the producer was John Maysmith.